Today, we conclude our sermon series on parables. In the past few weeks, we have discovered many messages about these parables. And it seems to me that Jesus has a way of gently moving you into this room where you see photos on the wall. And then you realize that the only door to this room is suddenly shut behind you. And then you discover that the photos on these walls are all photos of you. The first photo is you holding tiny little seeds that have sprouted. The next photo is also of you holding leavened bread that has enlarged. The third photo is you holding a beautiful little pearl. And the final photo is you standing next to a very large fishing net. Jesus has taken you into this room for a reason, and then he has closed the door on you, behind you, on purpose. He is trying to remind you that the kingdom of God is something that you really need to see up close and personal. Today, we're going to focus on the final photo of that room, the parable of the net. 2,000 years ago, Jesus uses this parable about fishing. This is something that everyone would understand. Most everyone has fished at one time or another. My father was an excellent fisherman. He taught me how to fish when I was just a little boy. I still remember catching my very first fish. I remember that huge pull on my fishing pole. I caught a little sunfish. I thought I caught a whale. And there are some memories in your life you never seem to forget. Do you remember catching your very first fish? Many years later, when I was an adult, Dad took me up to Canada. This would be my very first serious fishing trip. Now, I was still a novice. I was used to catching sunfish, maybe a bass or a perch or something. But this is now serious fishing. Dad was the master. And I remember getting into the boat that very first day. My pole was not fully engaged. My reel was not properly affixed to the pole. I had no idea what I was doing. And suddenly, a very large fish hit my lure. No one was more surprised than I was. And Dad kept screaming, "Reel him in! Don't lose him! Don't lose him!" My pole was almost bent in two. Dad could tell that I had something really big. Twice, my reel actually fell off my pole. Twice! This was embarrassing! And here I am frantically trying to get the reel back on the rod. People are outside the other boats laughing at me, watching me. This was humiliating. It took me about 15 minutes, but I finally got that fish back into the boat. How I did it, I have no idea. My catch? An extremely large 40-inch northern pike. In fishing circles, this is called a trophy. Now, this is big stuff with serious fishermen. My name actually got inserted into a fishing magazine. And Dad was in unbelief. And he examined my rod and my reel, and he kept saying, "How in the world did you do that?" And I knew the answer: even a blind squirrel. I was embarrassed that I caught that trophy fish. Dad, in his entire lifetime, never caught a trophy. Jesus' fishing buddies, his disciples, I'm sure, caught many trophies, and that is why Jesus uses this story in our gospel reading today. Jesus goes back to their roots. Let's give them a good fishing story. And you can almost hear Jesus thinking out loud, "Hey, this is something that they will understand. Let's get them inside the room, and then I'll close the door." In this parable, Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like a net that catches every kind of fish in the sea. You see, the kingdom of heaven had the original policy of non-discrimination. Listen again to these words of Jesus, Matthew 13. "The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind." When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The disciples knew what he was talking about. This was an extremely large net. On the top would be floats, on the bottom would be weights, and they would take this net from the shoreline, they would take it out about 100 yards into the sea, then they would turn parallel with the shoreline, and then they would bring it back into the shore. This dragnet was tied together with large ropes, and then it would be hauled in by a team of men. Anything in the water between that net and the shoreline would be dragged in by this enormous net. Once they got the fish to the shoreline, they would sit there in the sand and they would separate the edible fish from the inedible. They would keep all the good fish, but the bad fish, they would toss back into the sea, or some fish were so despised that they would leave them on the sand waiting for them to die. Jesus is trying to tell them that this scenario is the kingdom of God. This can be messy. It will include fish who are good fish and bad fish. Which one are you? I think that most of you would say, well, I like to think that I'm a good fish. You know, I come to church most Sundays. I pray as often as I can. I don't kick the dog when I walk in the door. I'm a pretty good person. Ask anyone. And if that is so, if you consider yourself a good fish, do you feel comfortable around bad fish? I know a place where most of you are not comfortable. It is so uncomfortable that it is inconvenient. It's even depressing. You would do almost anything to not go there because this place includes bad fish. Nearly all of you have been there numerous times in your life. The place, the Illinois Driver's License Facility. There it is. Do you remember your last visit? Tell me the truth now. This is not your most coveted place to visit, right? You walk in the doors and you look around and you were about to personally experience the full gambit of society. Up close and personal. You see the rich and the poor, the old and the young, the doctor and the lawyer sitting right next to a ditch digger. A couple of years ago, I had to go back and get my license renewed, and I sat there in a very filthy and unsanitized chair, probably the same chair that you did, and I kept waiting for my number to be called. Number 23, I look at my number, I'm number 89. It's gonna be a long wait. And after about an hour of time, I had an opportunity to take in all the people surrounding me, sitting right next to me. This is not for the faint of heart. My favorite, a young man about 17 years old, sitting very close to me. I don't have the greatest sense of smell, but I don't think he bathed very often. He was wearing a t-shirt that said, "Pretty good at making bad decisions." He kept sneezing, and then he would wipe his nose with his forearm. However, his most striking attribute, wait for it, he had removed a portion of his hair from his forehead all the way back to the back of his neck. And it looked like a small highway that was running down his entire head. And I looked at him in utter disbelief. A reverse mohawk? You did this on purpose? And my initial perilous thought was, this is the guy who's gonna run into my car next week because he's texting his girlfriend. This is the next generation, a reverse mohawk. God help us. Now, was I judging? Yes. Was I wrong to judge? Yes. This young man could have been the most upright Christian of good moral character in the entire western suburbs. But I was the person who had thrown him back into the sea. To me, he was the bad fish. And most of us make these kind of judgments every day of our life. And I am here to tell you that I was wrong in my judgment. Because it's not up to us to separate. It's up to God and the angels. And that is what the second part of our text tells us. On verse 49, the angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous. We should not judge. That's up to God. We should not and cannot look into the heart of others. And that includes people outside the church and people inside the church. Only God can see inside of our own heart. And only God knows if you are a good fish or a bad fish. That's why St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. It is time for all of us to look in the mirror. We can maybe fool people around us, but we cannot fool God when the judgment and the separation take place. And that is the beauty and the terror. Yes, the terror of this parable. There is a net all around us, right now, as I speak. And that net is slowly being pulled to the shore. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. In this net, you are surrounded by people that feel, that believe the same thing as you do. But also, right to your right there, in the same net, is your coworker, your friend. You really have no idea what they believe. And to your left, in that same net, is the 17-year-old with the reverse mohawk, a person that many people look upon with contempt. Jesus' parable tells us that we are all fish in the same net. A fish that's swimming in this net, if it would bump its head against the net, it means nothing. The fish bumps into it, it simply swims away. It thinks that it is still free. But slowly, that net finally draws close to the shore. And once it gets there, that same fish starts thrashing around wildly because now it knows that it's in trouble. Now it's too late. Listen closely now. That net has been cast since Adam and Eve rebelled against God. The weights are sinking. God is allowing unbelievers and believers to coexist in the same net. But God does not rejoice in anyone perishing. Listen to these words, Ezekiel 18, 23. Do you think, says the sovereign Lord, that I like to see wicked people die? Of course not. I only want them to turn from their wicked ways and live. Here it is. One day, God will draw that net to the shore. But right now, there's still a little time. People often live inside this net as if they are free, and they say the following, it's okay, there's still time. I will get serious about this later. However, from time to time, we all bump our heads into this net. Maybe it's some tragedy in our life. Maybe the loss of a loved one, sickness. It causes us to consider our own mortality. But then the tragedy passes and we forget about God and we swim away from the net. We think we are free again. God often gives people many opportunities to bump into that net and consider their choices. But one day, he will pull the cord. There are people inside this net right now, and they do not believe like you do. They don't believe that Jesus was sent here to die on the cross. They don't believe that your sins were put on his sinless shoulders, and now because of that, you have your eternal prize, and that's heaven. There's people out there that do not believe that. And because of that, God wants to use you to further his kingdom. But the weights are sinking. There's very little time. So I ask you, is your fishing pole fully functioning? Is your real, fully secured. Pray that God gives you the opportunity to change the life of that fish inside that net. And when that fish bumps its head into the net, that gives you the opportunity to turn that bad fish into a good fish. And that is your trophy opportunity. Amen.